We celebrate today not only the Sunday, but also the occurring feast day of August 5th, which is the feast not of a saint, like most feasts, but it's the feast day of a church. There are a few feast days for churches in the church calendar. We have the one of today, which is the feast of Our Lady of the Snows, which is the church of St. Mary Major in Rome. Then there's the feast of the Basilica of St. Michael in September, the St. John Lateran's Basilica in November, and one or two others. The story behind this feast day today is a very interesting one, the story behind this church. There was an immensely rich man who lived in Rome in the 4th century who had no children. And so he and his wife wanted to leave their fortune to Our Lady. They had no heirs. And they prayed to Our Lady to make known to them what they should spend this money on. And Our Lady gave them a response. On August 5th, which is the hottest part of the summer in Rome, there was a miraculous snowfall on one of the hills of Rome. And that same night in which this miraculous snowfall took place, Our Lady appeared in a dream to the rich man and to his wife separately and told them both. They both had the same dream in which she told them that they should build a church in her honor on the place where they would find snow on the ground. So this man went and he told the Pope about his dream. And the Pope had the exact same dream that same night. So they knew that it was a miracle, and they went in solemn procession to the place on the hill with the snow. And when they got there, the Pope traced the outline of the church on the ground in the snow, and which was then built with this man's money, and it is still there to this very day. This church is a very extraordinary one. It is one of the 7 major basilicas in Rome. And it's one of the largest, the most beautiful and grandest churches in the entire world. The inside is covered with marble and mosaics. There's a lot of history in it. St. Ignatius said his first mass there. St. Jerome is buried in there. But most impressive of all, it contains the manger in which our Lord was placed when he was born. Right in front of the high altar, there is a large hole in the floor going down to the story below, about one level. And there is a magnificent marble staircase going down to a beautiful reliquary made of gold under the high altar that contains this amazing relic. The Basilica of St. Mary Major is truly one of the holiest places in the church, although unfortunately has been defiled by heretics now. But someone might be wondering, what does that really mean to celebrate the feast day of a church? Why do we commemorate a church in the same way that we commemorate the saints? Well, there are certain similarities, of course. A saint, for example, lives in a certain time and has his own personality, and each saint has his own means of sanctification. He has his own calling in life in which he is intended to glorify God, and God is glorified in his soul. And a church, in the same way, goes back to a certain time. It has its own patron saint, its own style of architecture. And God is glorified in that church by the people who attend, and most of all, by the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ, at the tabernacle. That metaphor works the other way, too. We also say that a person is like a church. We say that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God is present in the soul of everyone in the state of sanctifying grace. So there really is a certain analogy between saints' feast days and feast days of churches. But even more importantly, a church is the house of God. It is a holy place, and it deserves respect. I think anyone who reads a lot about private revelations, or private apparitions rather, is probably struck by the fact that almost every time Our Lady or a saint or an angel appeared to someone, almost the first thing they ask for is that a church be built in that place. In the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the first thing she asked for was to have a church built on that spot. When Our Lady appeared at Lourdes, she said the same thing, build a church here. Then the apparition of Saint Michael the Archangel in Italy that the church celebrates on May 8th was the same message. It's always the same message, build a church. And then this rich man in Rome asks Our Lady what she wants him to do with his fortune. And the answer is to build a church on a miraculous patch of snow. As you know, when the devil infiltrated the church in Vatican II, he not only destroyed the Mass first of all, but he also destroyed the churches in which it was offered. Thousands of churches were torn down outright, and the ones that were left, most of them had a lot of the beautiful artwork taken out, destroyed, smashed to pieces, and they were filled with hideous, modern, abstract art. And the new buildings that the Novus Ordo Church builds, their new church is so-called, are built in the same way. They are decorated with modern artwork that is so ugly and weird-looking, it looks like it came right out of hell. And when you go into those places with the weird modern architecture, you really feel like you're in the house of the devil instead of being in the house of God. And that is the case. We could just be grateful that the Basilica of St. Mary Major and most of the other great churches in Rome were preserved from destruction by the heretics, by the secular government of all people. Not because the secular governments believed that those were the house of God, but because the secular government didn't want to lose all the tourist dollars from people who come from all over the world to see these magnificent buildings. So they prevented the modernists from destroying them. Someone might wonder, there are so many churches in Rome already, why do we need another one? How many churches do we need? And why does God always want us to build more? And we can answer that question by thinking about what a church is. A church is God's house. It gives God a dwelling among mankind. In every church, our Lord is present in the Blessed Sacrament to intercede with His Heavenly Father for mercy for mankind. And a church is also a place where Mass is offered. The divine sacrifice is offered up for the glory of God and the salvation of mankind. And in a church, people come and adore God. They receive the sacraments. They have their sins forgiven. They are fortified with every possible blessing and grace. Because of all these things, a church is the most important place in the whole world. How could we possibly ever have enough churches? So that is why God always wants us to build more. To keep reminding us that we need to worship Him more, we need to build more houses to His glory, and for our own redemption. In most churches, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is offered to God, at least every Sunday, or even every day, if there is a resident priest there. And every Mass brings down huge amounts of grace upon the people present, upon the community in which it is offered, and upon the whole church and all of mankind. This is why God wants masses to be multiplied across the world, to have worship offered up to Him in every place. God wants every part of the earth to be covered with His precious blood, and to give Him honor, and to turn away His wrath for our sins, and to bring down graces upon us. That is how we should think about a church, as the house of God, as the most important place there is. We shouldn't think about a church as a dusty old building we have to go to and sit through some long, boring service every Sunday morning because our parents make us, or our spouse makes us go, or because we don't want to go to hell, but that's really about it. Or we don't want to have to confess to the priest that we missed Mass on Sunday. No, we should treasure our church. There are many, many people now who don't have a church where they can attend Mass every Sunday, and they have to rent a hotel room or hear Mass in someone's living room and maybe only have Mass once or twice a month, or even less. There are people where people only can have access to a traditional Mass once a year. But we have been blessed by God to be near one of His houses, and we should look forward to visiting God in His house, just as we look forward to going to our friends' houses and visiting them. And when we are at church, we should remember whose house it is. We should remember primarily who we are visiting. And we should spend the majority of our time at church talking to its principal resident, which is our Lord, rather than just talking to our fellow man. We should have a strong faith in His presence in the tabernacle and spend time both before and after Mass talking to our Lord as a friend, which He is. And we have to have also the greatest reverence in His presence. But we don't have to be formal in how we speak to Him. We can talk to Him in our own words, of course, with love and reverence. And He will listen, and He will speak to us in our hearts as well. And if we make our Lord the primary reason why we come to church, we will gradually love God's house more and more, and desire more and more to come. Holy Mass will become the high point of our Sunday, even the high point of our entire week, rather than being something that we have to get done in the morning so that we can have the rest of the day free to have fun. And if we do that, we will leave the church refreshed and consoled, like we do when we leave after a visit with one of our best friends. The more we think about what a church is, the more we will appreciate coming here, the more benefit we will receive from it as well. The house of God will become the focal point in our lives, as it should be. And we will say with King David in Psalm 83, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth and fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, O Lord. They shall praise thee forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."